Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the bush on a very cold morning. I bet out west it's probably a little bit frosty today. Today we're going to return to John chapter 5. Just to kind of review it a little bit, Jesus had healed a helpless man that had been sick for almost 40 years. But as Jesus often did, he healed the man on the Sabbath. And the Jews, well, Jesus got in trouble with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees went after him big time. Now, one thing about today, Jesus is going to explain what he's on about. He's going to explain his relationship with the Father. It may seem just a little bit technical, but I want you to stay with me. Because we want to get our heads around what Jesus is saying. But at the end, I'm going to turn the focus back on us and just look at, what does it mean to us? How should we respond as a result of this? So don't leave me. Stay with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this wonderful text. Thank you for another deep look at the life of Jesus. Thank you for a beautiful day. Lord, use this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's pick up the story in verse number 16. But keep in mind, Jesus had just healed the invalid man on the Sabbath. Verse 16. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. Boy, they got angry. And they did that because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus responds to the antagonists, verses 17 and 18. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Whenever Jesus claimed that his work was exactly the same as God the Father's work, the Jews were furious. They went after him, and their hatred turned to murder. Well, why did they do that? Well, the Old Testament Jew had one mantra. You can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. Perhaps you've heard it. I'll read it. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one Lord." Let me read it again. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There are no others." And what Jesus was claiming here, he's equal with the Father. And that broke that cardinal rule for the Jews. But Jesus continued anyway, without hesitation, because he had a message to get across. And that's something to take note of. Sometimes when the pressure is really on, we back away. But Jesus had one focus, and he wanted to get his message across to these guys, although he knew it would cost him his life. Jesus continues speaking to his antagonist, which are a bunch of hostile men. Verses 19 and 20. "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you,'" listen, when he says that most assuredly, you need to pay attention. He says, "The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." When Jesus sees the Father moving, Jesus acts. He's only following the will of the Father. And everything that God does, he shows it to Jesus. And Jesus goes on to say, "And what I'm about to do is going to blow your mind." And the truth of the matter is, some of the things he did were absolutely amazing. How about raising the dead? Well, something else. The Jews respected God, and they respected Him deeply. And Jesus showed them that God the Father loved Him, the Son. Now, if you think about what Jesus is saying, I really don't think the Jews appreciated what He was saying very much. But He continues anyway, verses 22 and 23. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Speaking to His antagonist, Jesus clearly says that God the Father has given Him authority over everyone, including them. I'm sure that didn't make them happy. But Jesus goes on to say, if you don't honor Me, you're not honoring the Father. All I can say is, ouch. These Jews who had studied the Bible all of their lives, all of a sudden, this new teaching from Jesus, the Son of God, changes everything, and they didn't like it. Now watch, verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, there's that phrase again, saying, make sure you get this. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears My word and believes in Him who sent Me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Let me translate that. And remember, Jesus is speaking to the Jews. He says, look, guys, if you're going to live forever, you have to listen to Me. Listen, guys, if you want to live forever, you want to move into the resurrection, you want to move into eternity, you have to listen to Me. Boy, Jesus is putting Himself out there. And the guy, I'm sure the Pharisees were just about to explode. But something to note for us, Paul echoes these very same words in a little bit of a different way, but he echoes them where he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that He is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, if we believe the words that Jesus said, and we proclaim Him as Lord, by our actions, then we're going to be going to heaven. But we've got to believe and we've got to act on what we believe. But now, if you think Jesus has been laying it on heavy up to this point, listen to what He says now. And I'm going to switch over to the New Living Translation because I want to make sure that you get what Jesus is saying. Let's go to verses 25 through 29. And I assure you that the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear My voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. Remember, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here. But that time is coming when the spiritually dead will hear His voice and live. He was speaking to the Pharisees, but we know that that time also is right now. The spiritually dead, those who are far from God, needs to hear the voice of Jesus. How are they going to do that, folks? I'll leave that with you. Verse number 26, the Father has life in Himself, and He has granted that same life-giving power to His Son. And He has given Him authority to judge everyone because He is the Son of Man. Here Jesus uses the Son of God because He was born of God, and the Son of Man because He was born of humans as well. He knows what it's like to be human. Jesus knows. He understands. Let's never forget that. Verse number 28, don't be so surprised. And I'm sure the Jews were. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. Folks, that is the upcoming general resurrection of all people. Now, I know that we believe in the rapture, and that's going to happen exactly like Paul said it was going to happen. But this is a general resurrection of all. The Pharisees believed in the general resurrection, so Jesus is connecting with them. But notice, it says all people will come out of the grave at the call of Jesus. When I read that, I couldn't help but think back in Tennessee. There was this old cemetery at the back of our property. And there was some 1,600 to 1,700 graves in that cemetery. But something I noticed, every headstone was laid to where the individual that was buried on Resurrection Day would rise up and look to the east. Those people then believed the Word of God. I don't think we see that much nowadays. But folks, the dead will rise again. And get this, they'll rise at the call of Jesus. Now, back to our confrontation. In the minds of the Pharisees and in our own minds, there can be no doubt that Jesus will be the final judge for everyone. He will have the final say for everyone. Don't miss that. Jesus goes on to prove his authority by quoting John the Baptist. He says, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He also makes reference to God who says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But Jesus goes on to say, "The greatest proof of who I am is the works that I do." And folks, we know the works that he did. No one but God could do those things. He is God in flesh. No one else could do that. So he's proving who he is. Then his focus turns back to the Pharisees, and he gets very, very pointed. Now again, remember Jesus is speaking to the Jews, verses 7, 37 through 38. "The Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent him you do not believe." Listen, guys, you don't have the word of God abiding in you. I know you've studied the Bible, the scriptures all of your life, but you don't have God's word in your life because you don't believe in me. That's a real challenge. There's a lot of people who know the Bible who don't know Jesus. Make sure you know and believe Jesus, not just know about him. So the Lord's authority cannot be any clearer as he speaks to the Jews. But let's turn the corner. What does all of this mean for us? I want you to follow me. Jesus said that what the Father did, he did. What does it have to do with us? John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him," that's you and me, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." If we believe in the name of Jesus, we have the right to be children of God. Then Paul says in Galatians 3, 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." We are sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus. We are children of God, and the Lord's express thoughts was that he would live his life through us. You see, God was in Jesus, according to what we've just read. But as a Christian, Jesus is in us. And when that happens, we have to crucify ourselves and let him live his life through us. And I think Jesus even said, if when that happens, greater works will you do than the things that I've done. Folks, that is a challenge for us as Christians, that we need to let Jesus live his life for us, through us, and it'll change the world. Folks, we need to get busy about doing that. So now we've seen what Jesus can do. What can we do? Will we trust him? Listen, folks, will we trust him? Will we allow him to live through us? Will we allow him to affect the lives of others through us? That will happen if, and only if, we believe in his words, we act on what he said, and we will trust him. Do you trust Jesus? I think one of the greatest messages that we can take around us, to people around us, is I trust Jesus. They don't need an explanation. I trust Jesus. If they're interested, then tell them about Jesus. So folks, do we trust Jesus? Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Thank you that it's clear who Jesus is. Now let us get clear to us what that means to us. Lord, I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.